surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and
hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. Out of This World Radio is now one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 140,000 listeners in over 70 countries. We have an incredible show for you today from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. I'll be interviewing a wonderful gentleman named Dr. Angel Fernandez, who organized the wonderful and amazing Third World Conference of Peace and Light in the Dominican Republic last week. Dr. Fernandez will be talking all about Telos and the Hollow Earth. It's an interview that I hope you'll find fascinating, as I did. Then during the second hour, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., I'll be interviewing a wonderful gentleman named Zora and Billy Woodard of the Hollow Earth. Zora actually lives in the Hollow Earth, and Billy, his son, will be delivering messages directly from his father from the people of the Hollow Earth. Telos and the Hollow Earth are an amazing place. Because they're an ancient Lemurian civilization, about 12,500 years old and more, and he will be coming in on today during the second hour to live messages for humanity. I want to thank everyone's support so much for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of their program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Just click on it. I want to thank everyone so much for their support, especially Kiko in California, Antoinette Connell in England, Anita in Dublin, Ireland, Marco in Helsinki, Finland, Emma Louise and Jan Eric in Norway, Randy and Jessica in Mercer Island, Darren in Olympia, and Rod Shastri in Toronto, Canada, and everyone around the world who helped me raise consciousness to make this world a better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma, which is not really a bookstore. It's more of a spiritual center. And if you want to go to a place that's really going to lift your spirits, please go to the Crystal Voyage in Tacoma. As well as, I'd also like to thank the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. With that, I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's designed my website and providing wonderful support, and my friends in the Emoto office in Tokyo, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and KKNW. Without help and support, this program would not be possible. I also have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who passed on or contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me here in the United States toll-free from the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339 or on my cell at 509-750-9793. I'd also like to thank everyone listening today to send lots and light to my good friend Orion's been diagnosed with throat cancer, and I want to tell you some good news. Thanks to your love and light, his cancer is almost gone. Yes, six months ago, he was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer, and it's almost gone, and it's thanks to you, all of you, sending prayers to him. So thank you so much. Also, I want to thank you so much for sending love and light to my good friend, Dr. William Mount, in Tacoma, who is feeling much better. And again, thanks so much for your love and light. My book, entitled Messages from the Masters, Cosmic Messages from Professor Albert Einstein, President Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, Mahatma Gandhi, as well as the Galactic Alliance and Dr. Emoto, is done. Former Defense Minister Paul Hellyer wrote the foreword, and the book is available just for $20, which includes free shipping and an autograph. If you'd like an autograph book, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The book is all about humanity's bright, beautiful future, as well as what would have happened if President Kennedy had lived. There are also messages from Nostradamus and Jack and Bobby Kennedy and what our future is like. I'd also like to thank everyone so much for their support for my recent Galactic Wisdom Conference that was held earlier this year in Olympia, Washington, in the United States. Because of the success, I'll be having my fourth annual conference on March 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2018, at the same location at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, about an hour south of the airport. For information, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Dr. Angel Fernandez will be a keynote speaker at my next Galactic Conference in Olympia, Washington, as well as Dr. Kyra Rocha, who is a very famous and wonderful naturopathic healer from the Bahamas. I have a new television program called Out of This World TV, which broadcasts three times a week in the Seattle area, and the show is also available on YouTube under either my name, Ted Marr, or Out of This World. There are now over 40 episodes available on YouTube. With that, I'd like to say that I want to thank Dr. Angel Fernandez and all his wonderful staff for the wonderful Peace and Light conference I attended last week in the Dominican Republic. I gave a keynote speech on humanity's bright, beautiful future and how we can make this planet a much better and happier place. And I especially want to thank Ray Zukowski for his wonderful support in helping me prepare my PowerPoint presentation for the conference. Ray's a wonderful guy who is an expert in giving people hypnosis therapy to go into past lives or travel into the future. I myself went under a hypnosis session with Ray several months ago, where he took me 2, 5, and 8 years into the future, where I saw the government of China completely collapsing, with Tibet finally getting their freedom after decades of repression, much like what happened with the old Soviet Union in 1990. I want to tell you, too, on Sunday, September 3rd, Michiko Hayashi, the Moto Peace Project, and Adam and Josh Biggleson will be giving a joint presentation at the wonderful Crystal Voyage Bookstore and Spiritual Center in Tacoma from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. The event is free, but donations will be accepted, and the title of the presentations will be How Our Thoughts Create Reality, The Katsuzama Vibration, Hado Machine, and Diagnosing Illnesses. It's an amazing lecture. It's free, and I hope you can all come. Today's show will be totally on Mount Shasta and Telos and the Hollow Earth, because from September 7th through the 12th, I'll be sponsoring a trip to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. Mount Shasta is a very special place. It's considered the root chakra of the planet, and it's also the home of the ancient Lemurian city of Telos, located approximately 100 miles beneath the mountain. We'll be camping right next to the entrances to Telos in the Hollow Earth. And in June, a few months ago, I took a small group of people to Shasta, and many of us actually went into Telos and the Hollow Earth. There are spiritual protocols which the Telosians recommend you follow before coming on the trip. And if you're interested in coming, please email me to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com. The cost is just $200, includes free dry camping right on Mount Shasta, on one of the most beautiful places on the planet. We'll be meeting Diane Robbins when we're there, who's written many books on Telos and visited the Hollow Earth many times. Her website is www.dianerobbins.com. Also, Michiko Hayashi will be giving a very special presentation at the Mount Shasta Library from 1 to 4 p.m. on Sunday, September 10th, on the messages from water based on Dr. Moto's wonderful research. There will also be 4 or 5 different psychics coming along with us on this special spiritual trip, including Lay Kerr from Melbourne, Australia, whose specialty is contact with the Yowie or Sasquatch in Australia. Then finally, from October 26th to the 29th, there's this wonderful water conference in Sofia, Bulgaria. For more information about the conference, please go to www.waterconference.org. One of the speakers of the conference will be Professor Jerry Pollock of the University of Washington. He's considered one of the world's most famous water scientists. And if you'd like to support him and his work, please send him an email to ghp@u.washington.edu. The following interview is a pre-recorded interview I did with Dr. Fernandez at the Peace and Light Conference last week in the Dominican Republic. He has so many fascinating things about Telos and the Hollow Earth to say, and I know you'll find this interview really amazing. We'll come back. I'll come back online at the end of the hour for the next hour. So please stay tuned. We will start our interview right now.
Telosians speak, and could you tell me a little bit more about that, please?
Yes, they don't talk too much, and they communicate in English. The most curious aspect of their communication is that they use old English, and I would say they use old King's English. For example, they would say that I love the city I am in right now because it is truly remarkable the way this persons from this vicinity are welcoming us at their best possibilities. That's the way they talk.
Interesting.
For example, they say, in British English, they say city. Mm-hmm. They say city, no? Mm-hmm. But they don't say city, they say city. Like the old English. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like, it's the typical King's English language. The city. The city of London. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And that's the way they used to communicate and speak English.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Is it because of their isolation for so many thousands of years that they've developed this?
I guess so. I guess that they learned the language by themselves, nor by contacting their different vicinities. And probably they chose the best possible English, and they chose the Old King's English. In my view, this may be the reason.
Interesting, interesting. Yes. And I take it they're very peaceful, loving people.
Absolutely, absolutely. They are kind of slow. They move slowly. Mm-hmm. They react slowly. Mm-hmm. Exquisitely well-mannered. I mean, they never raise their voices. Mm-hmm. Always smile. Look at you right between the eyes. Mm-hmm. All the time. They are impeccably dressed at all times, mm-hmm. which is funny because, I mean, you can imagine somebody in a supermarket helping you put all your shopping into the carriage, you know, and you see somebody with a tie and the suit and everything. I mean, it doesn't look like anybody working in a supermarket, yeah. And that's the way they are. And women the same, very well-dressed, well-mannered. Very clean, extremely clean. Mm-hmm. When you look at them, it's like if they never saw the sunlight in their lives.
Really? So they're very pale?
Very pale.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've been told that there's a sun in the hollow earth, but is the light a little different than our light on the surface?
Well, I would make a difference. I mean, the first thing I would like to say is that there is no hollow earth like that. I mean, all of these planetary bodies immediately surrounding the nucleus core, immediately above the nucleus core, there are great caves. When I say great caves, there are caves that are as big as Mexico, for example.
That's amazing.
Yes, enormous caves.
Yeah.
These caves are absolutely indispensable for these planets and the suns to make the necessary cohesion to avoid the rupture of the external crust.
Okay.
You know? There are many of these caves in the inside. Some of the caves contain water, some others do not contain anything, and seven of them are inhabited.
Interesting.
Many people might think that this is because the earth is hollow. It's not. Mm-hmm. So these are these big caves. And they have two different ways to get the illumination, the necessary illumination, as to get get done the necessary photosynthesis, you know, for the plants and everything, and the chlorophyllic function. So they need the light. The first way they use is like a big lamp, similar to a sun, but it's a lamp. It's a lamp, but I mean, enormously big. Seems to be a sun, but it's artificial.
I see.
When you are in those caves, you see, the height of the cave is so huge that it is much bigger than the atmosphere here.
Wow.
I mean, because there are, imagine a cave with an altitude of 1,000 or more kilometers.
Wow.
You know?
That's amazing.
So when you are down here on the floor, right. You know, on the ground, let's put it like, you cannot see the ceiling. You cannot see the top. It's too far away.
Wow.
So they have clouds and everything, and they have fabricated like small suns. And the sun is controlled by their technology. So they create days and nights.
Oh, wow.
So they have everything as in the surface. In all worlds, in the most advanced worlds, their main community never lives on the coaster. They live in the inside, because in the inside is safer. There are no contractions, no earthquakes,
no tsunamis.
Yes, no meteors, nothing like that. They control everything.
Wow.
But when you are there, you may have the belief that you are somewhere on the surface, and you're not.
Interesting.
So they have they have seas, they have rivers, they have forests and plants and everything. So the first first way they have to get the illumination is with one of these suns. Many people who might probably be there probably in a projection or something, they may see a sun, and obviously they may talk of an inner sun.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's only the sun that illuminates that particular cave. The other way they use, which is very advanced in technology, and this was used in ancient Egypt, is that they use the air molecules ionized. They ionize the air molecules, and then the air lights up. You know, and the illumination is the air. The
wow.
air is illuminated, mixture of green and blue.
Wow.
Since everything is illuminated, because these molecules are everywhere, they produce no shadows, which is odd, it's strange. You feel rare when you're there.
So when you're walking around, you don't see a shadow then?
No shadows.
That's amazing.
No shadows.
Wow.
And they still control the luminosity and the intensity by themselves, producing days and nights.
Wow.
So this is what happens in the inside, you know. In other places like Telos is very close to the surface, so they don't use anything like this. They use other means. They use something like magnetic or electromagnetic energy to light up.
I remember you said before, and forgive me for asking again, that the plants and the animals in the hollow earth are actually much larger than they are on the surface.
They are different. What I said is that if you happen to go to the rainforest El Yunque in Puerto Rico, since that is a biological lab, you will find that all of the plants, not most, all of the plants that are there, if you happen to know them, to have known them before, you will see that these plants grow much larger than usual, you know? And then you will find a small plant that in your house is this big, you know, and in El Yunque is 2 meters.
I see. Interesting.
And everything is like that. Also trees and everything. And they grow like that, first because it's a lab, and then the atmospherical conditions, gravitational conditions, their air pressure is different in this place. So they grow stronger and larger. And that is something you don't need to be a biologist to notice that.
Wow.
Also, something very important that you will find there if you happen to go, this is very amazing. I have videos of that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Plants communicate with you.
Wow.
Plants communicate and show feelings.
Wow.
So when you relate to them, the plants start moving like, oh, yes, it's something unusual.
That's amazing.
And some plants even try to turn you down or to mislead you. Because if you're looking for something, if those plants don't want you to go that way,
right,
they may be launching you ideas, come this way, or come the other way.
Oh.
Or don't stay here, because they don't want you to be there.
Wow.
They do communicate.
Wow.
And it's amazing, because you are in a place, for example, I mean, not all the plants, certain plants.
Sure.
And you are in this place where all the plants are quiet, and then there are one or two that are all moving to you, and shaking. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, this goes without saying, but I take it that they're in a higher dimension than that we are here on the surface of the planet.
No, that is also the surface of the planet, but it's not really a matter of dimension. It's a matter of frequency.
Ah, good point.
Frequency.
Good point. Okay, so
yes.
They're in a higher frequency.
In a higher frequency.
Okay, mm-hmm. Fascinating.
You see people here, as you can see on this planet surface, there are many kinds of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People are a little, I mean, this is more or less like a school, like a big school,
true.
Where there are students in kindergarten, and there are other students finishing their master's degree. Mm-hmm. It is not possible. I mean, they can communicate, they can get along together, but there is something they cannot do. They cannot share that kind of information. I mean, you cannot send the person in the doctoral degree or the master's degree, you cannot send him to a preschool,
sure.
To be there sitting with the others.
Sure.
So it doesn't mean that it is better or more advanced or whatever. No, I mean, it's at a different level. It's the same as if we compare, for example, a 2-year-old boy with a 25-year-old man. I mean, they cannot go together to the disco.
True.
I mean, it's, but it's not a matter of impossibility. Just let the time pass by, and there will be a moment when the infant is ready to go to the disco and to have a girlfriend, but not before.
I see.
And that happens here all the time, a matter of frequency. Mm-hmm. You raise your frequency when you vibrate within the framework of love, you know? At last, the human person is like an air balloon. It's like an air balloon, ready to fly up. You know, but it's connected with ropes to the ground. But it's ready, and the basket is ready, and the people are there. If you want the balloon to take off, you need to cut those ropes.
Mm-hmm.
The names of the ropes are limitations, prejudices, inhibitions.
Negativity,
fear.
Excellent.
You know, those things.
Oh. Well
so
said.
You break one of them, pride, go up a little bit. You break up another rope, judgment to the others a little bit higher. Then you go another one,
hatred,
for example, yes, and you raise up a little bit. When you break up walls, you're free.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
And this is the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only difference about human beings here. Some of them live in a higher frequency, and they tend to be together with people similar to them. I mean, when you go and see somebody to talk about a specific theme, you're looking for somebody who is a little bit like you.
Sure, sure.
Otherwise, I mean, the conversation is a waste of time if the only thing he knows or can talk about is about the price of the chicken. You know, so.
Yeah. There's an old saying, birds of a feather flock together.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So that is the point. And for example, in those conferences like this, when people try to get together, there is a common denominator, frequency.
Frequency, that's right.
Frequency. They are more or less within the same limits, mm-hmm. within the same spectrum. And that's the only difference.
Forgive me for asking you again, but this is a better recording than earlier. The two who invited you to tell us was called Ra and Rana, the king and queen of.
Yes, Rana Mu and Ramu. They are not really king and queen. Usually, in this kind of collectivities, the person who is set up as the reference of the others is the oldest one, always the oldest. So they are the oldest, and they are the references. There is no hierarchy. There are no distribution, power distribution. There's nothing like that. You know, it's only age. You know, it's like everywhere. For example, in the world, there are laws that are not written anywhere, but that are accepted everywhere. You know, and for example, if we are together here trying to set up an association of Earth lovers. And then, we are going to write the Constitutional Act. And it's typical to say, okay, reunited in the city of blah, 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 these, and that, under the presidency of the oldest person.
Interesting. How old are the two individuals who invited you?
They are around 350.
Years.
Yes.
Wow.
And this is, by the way, one of the most impressive dramas researchers, anthropologists today, when they visit, for example, those colonies that have been typified as savages. I mean, those indigenous communities in the Amazons and some other ways, Indians, collectivities, etc. One of the biggest dramas they have, when they go, if you happen to find a translator, they don't know anything about time. Anything.
Anything about
time.
Time.
Yes. Oh. So if you ask him, if you're able to communicate with an interpreter, excuse me, sir, so who is the reference here? I mean, who can I talk to? Who is the leader, the boss? It's the oldest, it's that one over there. Ah, okay. And you go there and say, excuse me, sir, I'm coming from the north and finding out the way you live and how you are. How old are you? He would probably say, what is that?
Interesting. He doesn't realize the concept.
What do you mean? Because they don't know. They only know the days. But they don't write the days anywhere. They don't do as in the prisons. I mean, with bars and then crosses. No.
Sure.
They know the day because the sun rises, the sun sets. They don't know anything else. They don't know about weeks, months, or years. So he will tell you that he doesn't know where you're talking about. And then you say, okay, let me put it other way. This is what anthropologists are doing today. Do you have any children, sir? You say, yes, this one here is my boy. And you see the boy, well, they look alike. They look alike, really. And you go to the first child, for example, and say, how old are you, sir? Well, I don't really know. And then did you happen to have any children? Yes, this one's my child. When you put them all together, so you're the oldest, and this is your son, and this is the other son, and when you put this all together, you might probably be getting closer to the conclusion that the eldest, the reference, the leader, can be 300 or 400 years old.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. Tell me this, do they communicate mostly telepathically when they communicate?
Who?
Oh, the people of the Hollow Earth or Telos.
They don't talk.
They don't talk.
They don't talk. So the communication is telepathically and teleempathically.
I see. I see. Interesting.
They
Interesting.
Don't talk. I mean, but this is the typical thing in this kind of communities like this. I mean, now, for example, this world is supposed to be, for somebody who doesn't know anything about the world, imagine a cosmic visitor who might eventually be coming and landing on Earth, or that is asking for information. What can you tell me about the planet? And probably one of the questions might be, do they still talk? Yes, they do. Oh, then they are babies. They are still babies. If they talk, they are still babies.
I see.
Because in most of the worlds like these, a little bit only more evolved, more evolutioned, they don't talk. Nobody talks.
Interesting.
Yeah. Here, we are now in the world, in the first step to a common language, universal common language on Earth, which is a lingua franca. The lingua franca is obviously English with reminiscence from Spanish. Probably English and Spanish is the formula for the future. Because even in China, with 1,370 million people and so many dialects, but they are starting to speak English. For some other reason, English is becoming the lingua franca. So it is not difficult to guess that in the near future there will be an only language, a common language here, right. It will be English. Then the next step will be lowering the decibels, lowering intensity. Speaking a little bit lower and softer. Not with these volumes, you know? That will be the next step. The third step will be speaking without using the vocal cords. So this is speaking, whispering. Hello, how are you? Are you happy? Do you feel well? This accentuates your capacities to hear, to understand much better. And finally, after this, nothing.
Fascinating.
Telepathically.
Interesting. Now, I know that here on the surface of the planet, Dr. Fernandez, we're losing time. Every month, every year, it's just a little shorter, seconds, minutes. Eventually, time is different in the Hollow Earth, isn't it? It's a higher...
Time is different everywhere. I mean, because time depends on revolutions, depends on the way something is moving, is vibrating. For example, time in Mars is different than time here. Time in Jupiter is different than time here. You know, time in the universe is different than time in this galaxy. Time is different everywhere. Time on the moon is different than time here. Yeah? The time for a cell, human cell, is different than time for a human organ. So there are multiple times. Times depend on vibration. You vibrate more, the time changes. You know, it's the same as light. Light depends on dimensions. In this dimension, light goes approximately 298,000 kilometers per second. In the next dimension, light is 100 times faster. So it all depends on where you are. You know, at the same time, every planet is different. It depends on size, it depends on gravity, it depends on the distance to the sun, it depends on the thickness of the atmosphere, it depends on the atmosphere pressure, it depends on humidity, it depends on many, many facts. There are planets, for example, where you simply cannot talk, because if you emit some kind of sound, it will damage everything around.
Wow.
So people simply don't talk.
Interesting. Wow.
You see here in a planet like this, for example, when you talk, I mean, I'm talking to you, and in a way, I'm causing you, I'm producing you a disturbance in your body.
Okay.
So this is the reason why planets like this, in the end, do not consider talking as the way to communicate. However, there are certain communities on Earth that following the teachings of the ancient masters who came here first to instruct the colonies, because every planet has like its own manual, you know, working manual. Mm-hmm. And in the past, the people, the descendants of the people who created this planet were here instructing the first colonies that arrived. And there are still many of those colonies, descendants of those colonies, who still work like that. For example, very near here in Colombia, we'll have the Kogi Indian community. The Kogi Indian community, a part of them, a substantial part of them, don't talk.
They don't talk?
No. They communicate through the mind, telepathy. In this community, but this is the same, for example, as the Hadza in Tanzania, Africa, is the same as the Dropa in Tibet, is the same as the Dogon in Mali, Africa, is the same in many communities. And they still continue using those teachings that were provided to them by those old masters of the ancient wisdom. One, for example, one of the most relevant aspects is that they suggested in the past, don't, if you like to travel, don't travel with your body. Leave your body standing somewhere and go wherever you go in sensorial, in conscious sensorial projection. And they still do that. The Kogis do that. They want to travel anywhere. They go to a special cave with no sound, in deep silence. They leave their body lying down, you know, and they go out and spend hours, or sometimes days, out.
Wow.
In full conscience of everything, with all five senses working.
Wow.
When they come back to their bodies, they have a body relaxed, after resting such a long time, quietly renewed, in perfect shape and condition. And they have all of the experience imaginable.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's amazing. One thing you told me earlier, and I'm sorry to ask you again, but this is a better recording. How did you go into Telos? Did they contacted you? How did you go in, Dr. Fenner?
Because I am in contact since I was a little boy with, I would say, with all the inner communities on Earth. And since I was a little boy, first I was taken. Some friends of mine took me there, and they know me since I was a baby here. And I am in contact with them all the time because they have representatives in Shasishi, the station that is over Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic. So we meet there all the time, and simply when I have a group around, I never go alone. I used to go with a group, because I can go alone whenever I wish. But when I have a group, you know, I have to, you know, to ask him for a special permission to take along the group with me. And that's the way it works. They run and move, don't go to this station, to Shasishi, but they have representatives there. So I just need to talk to them. And we go.
I see. You mentioned before there were elevator shafts or stairs going down into the...
Elevators. I mean, not really stairs, but ramps.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting. Wow.
This is an incredible story, and you have so many interesting things to say, Dr. Fernandez.
I have a lot of experiences myself, because... because of my condition and because I do another work at night. And that is the reason why.
I see. So you travel at night in the astral plane when you're sleeping?
No. I travel at night physically.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
I am not in my bed.
Oh.
If I had somebody sleeping with me at my side, at least 3 or 4 hours, I'm not there.
Wow.
I have a group of people, 6 more people, who are friends and companions, and they look for me every night. They look for me, I mean, they get me up, and I go with them, and what we call an instructor. They come from me, they pick me up, and then they, when after the work is done, they bring me back. And that happens every night, only in three places: Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, and New York.
Fascinating.
Because to be able to do this, a special, how could I tell you? Let's say engineering of light was needed. We really need to make an adaptation of a place to create an area where I can go up and down. Mm-hmm. So I cannot do that everywhere in the world, only in these three places and in three particular places within the places.
I wanted to ask you about this before. Sorry for being repetitive, but I remember you said before that many of the people of the Hollow Earth actually come out and have been working around in the Shasta area.
Yes, they come out. Well, I would like to tell you again that Telos is not Hollow Earth. I mean, it's underground. You know, just underground. Yes, they started coming out 30 or 40 years ago. I mean, very recently. Because in the past, when they came out, people used to throw them stones and attack them. And this was happening for hundreds of years. So they refused to come out, and they were very afraid to do it. Now they do it because, I mean, those communities are more open-minded than they used to be in the past. And now they feel well. Nobody tells anything about that. But in the past, it was difficult. It was difficult. So they were hardly seen outside. They were barely came out.
Wow. Fascinating. That is just truly fascinating. Do they travel far from Shasta, or they're more or less in the area?
Yes. I mean, they go everywhere right now.
I see.
You bear in mind that since the 60s, when everybody transfigured oneself, with the hippie movement and everything. Now you can see anybody, you can see anybody and you don't pay attention to anything at all. I mean, everything is fine. But this doesn't happen in the past, you know? So after the 60s, 70s, they are outside and they dress the way they love and they communicate the way they can, and nobody in general takes care of what they do or say. And there are many other cases. There are many people here that are actually living here since a long time ago that were never born on this planet. They were brought from other places and that are here. They have accommodated. They have accustomed to the place. They are integrated. They work. They have married, raised families and everything, and nobody knows. So probably this may be one of the biggest dramas in the future when somebody tells you, eventually, listen, we've known each other for 40 years, but you know what I never told you is that I was never born here.
Wow.
I was born in a different place. I was brought, and now I'm happy here, and this is my home, and I feel well here.
That's amazing. That is just truly amazing.
You would be amazed to see how many people are not from here. There are several cases in this conference.
Wow. There are some in this conference?
Yes.
Really? You know something? You're right. I just got a big yes on that.
Yes, there are several of them who come from very far away, and they are here. And very well-known persons or personalities from the past that are here too.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Always a pleasure.
I think in the future, I have a feeling that there will be even more contact as the planet rises in vibration on the surface.
Yes, because at last, this is what happens. I mean, when you are accommodating yourself to the place take something into consideration. The changes in families. the traditional family is breaking up. It's no longer a family. I mean, your true family is different. The true family here is a family, it's an adopted family. You adopt your family, you know? Right. You look for the people you feel well with, and they are your true family. You may have a father and a mother that are not the best possible friends you may find. Right. You may have a brother who may eventually be your worst enemy. You may have a son, you don't have anything in common with him, except that you are his father.
Right.
So the true family is a family by adoption. You know? You choose that family, you choose that friend, and in the end, that friend is more than your family. And it becomes your family automatically.
That's a fascinating and very profound statement you just made.
This is what is happening.
Yeah.
What happens in the typical family, especially in the United States, what do? They just live together in the same habitat, and that habitat is very much like a motel. They're not in contact with each other. They don't get into each other, never in the life. It's very typical that a father comes one day out of the room and finds his boy. Oh, my boy, wow, how big you are. What are you talking about? You're living in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't seen each other since probably a long time ago.
Right.
The boy is in his room with his computer, the tablet, connecting with friends, and never eat together. Whenever he needs to eat, he goes to the fridge and prepares a sandwich, ham and cheese, and that's all. The other family is the true family. By adoption, you adopt the people, your friends, with whom you can communicate, with whom you have a common frequency, you share your frequency. More or less, the frequencies are compatible. They are within the same spectrum margins, and you are happy with them. And something is changing with them. I mean, you have children. And the children, you have simply given them your physical, your morphological, your somatic components, and at last, your genetics. This is what you have provided, that's all. It's like if they have asked you for permission to be here, can you help me with your genetics? Yes, why not? But then in the end, you can never tell that the boy is your property. No, he used your components to have a body. That's all. That's all. It's not your property. He's different. He may even have a different blood type, and he might be absolutely different. You don't even have the right to provide him whatever you believe is true for you. Because whatever may be fine with you may be wrong for the boy, and vice versa. So this is a little bit what is happening in the families. The concept is changing. So they are... This is a moment where families are being moving towards a family by affinity.
Okay.
You create a different family by affinity. You feel affinity by some other people, and they are around you, and they are your family.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think you're right on that, yeah.
Well, I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do think so.
This has just been an amazing interview. I appreciate you so much for spending your time, Dr. Fernandez. And I think as time goes on, people around the planet will learn more and more about the people of Telos and the other places within the Earth.
It's a matter of fear. I mean, when they get rid of these fears, everybody may happen. You know, you see, there was when I was in college, I think I used to be like 21 years old, something like that. And the residence hall where I used to stay, suddenly somebody brought a relative, somebody who was completely drunk, you know, completely drunk. And he was so drunk that we dared to tell him, listen, you should never, you should not carry on drinking this wine because you've done more than enough. And he said, no, I love wine. No, but you should drink water. And he told us, no, water is for fish and fish for me. And he continued talking and he said, listen, I come from a village green in the mountains. And when the first car arrived, it was a big black car, enormous. And everybody in town, in the village, everybody in the village would be throwing its stones, big stones, you know, to that old black car. Well, not everybody except the major and myself were the people more advanced at the time.
Sure.
And I remember, said the man, the drunkard, he said, and I remember the major saying, please, take care with those stones. I don't want you to kill him. I want to keep him alive. Mm-hmm. They were talking about a car.
About what?
About the car.
Oh, I see.
They were talking about the car and the major said, don't kill him. I want him alive.
I see.
The car.
I see.
So this is still happening in this society.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So when everybody raises up the conscience a little bit, it will be easier.
Yeah.
That's why I was telling you before that when this moment arrives, it may be perfectly possible that your neighbor comes to you and listen, I was not born here. You know me well and we're good friends,
yeah,
but let me share something with you.
Fascinating.
But not now, because if they do so now, they will believe that you're mad or something like that, or you are an insane person.
Right.
So everything comes, just live some time.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, Dr. Fernandez, I want to thank you so much for your time today. This has been another fascinating interview. Is there anything else you'd like to say just to wrap up your wonderful interview today?
Well, the only thing probably is that I would like to encourage everyone to be themselves, to gain authenticity, and to do whatever they think they should be doing, and forget about the rest. Forget about the rest. Be yourselves.
I've been told to always follow your heart mind when you make decisions, to be yourself.
Well, I would say that having the need of making decisions is anti-natural. The human person has sufficient means in the inside as to have everything clear, and if you have everything clear, you will never need to make any decisions at all. But for that, you need to listen to your intuition. And that means that you have to be yourself, not somebody else.
Thank you for sharing that words of wisdom. I really appreciate you coming on today.
Always a pleasure, at your disposal all the time.
You're doing wonderful work to make this place a better planet. Thank you so much, Dr. Fernandez. Wasn't that an incredible interview? I actually have a second segment with Dr. Fernandez that runs about 20 minutes. I may play it a week from today when we have a little bit of a vignette on Mount Shasta and Telos. He will be coming. Dr. Fernandez has been invited to give a keynote speech, and he's accepted to come to my Galactic Wisdom Conference here in Olympia, Washington, just outside Seattle on March 9th, 10th, and 11th next year. And you'll be able to meet him in person, so I hope you can all come. During the next hour, we'll be interviewing Billy Fay Woodard, who will be channeling his father, Zora, who actually lives in the Hollow Earth. They will be switching places, and Zora will be giving many messages about the Hollow Earth as well. So please stay tuned to another Out of This World interview, and we'll be going to that interview in just a few minutes. So please stay tuned, and I hope you're all having a wonderful and fantastic day.
If woman can survive, they may...